Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labor MPs.
Paula Vanaka, and happy Fijian Language Week to everybody. Welcome to this edition of Red Alert. This program will be one of the occasional shows in which we talk about the work of the Labor local boards in Auckland. My name's Christine O'Brien, and I'm a member of the Māngere o Tāhuhu local board, and also do a little bit of electorate work for Jenny Salesi MP in Manukau East. I'm really pleased to welcome today the chair of the Otara Papatoetoe local board, Lotu Fuli. Tala Fulava, Lotu.
Bulawinaka, Christine. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me on this morning.
No problem. Now, it's about a year since the local boards and the governing body of the Auckland Council were elected, and you are just completing your anniversary as a first-time chair, so congratulations for that, Lotu.
Oh, thank you for that. Thanks.
And how have you found it different, your role from moving from a member to a chair of a local board?
It's definitely been a lot busier, and one of the most time-consuming parts of being the chair is that I've got a lot more meetings now in the city, and so there's all of that travel time that I probably didn't think about, when I wasn't the chair, because, you know, as a member, you do all of your work pretty much in your local board area, which is great. And, you know, so I continue to do that as the chair, but I've also got a responsibility and an obligation to be in the city a lot more, meeting with the other chairs or meeting with the councillors or meeting with the mayor, you know, or even sometimes staff, some of the senior staff at Auckland Council and with the CCOs. So it's a lot more travelling. And, you know, in Auckland, that's an issue.
It certainly is. Yeah. Not ideal. So you, as the chair and being the only full-time member of the local board, you're really taking a lead role in that obligation of local boards to placemake and to do the best for particular communities within the wider Auckland region.
Yes. And as the chair, you know, you've got a stronger sort of advocacy role, and people do, it's not that people don't listen to local board members, but people do sort of take more attention when they're talking to the chair. So your role is, you know, it's just a stronger advocacy role, and so I've got a stronger responsibility to do that on behalf of the people of our community, and also, you know, vulnerable people in the rest of the region as well. There's a responsibility there as well.
Absolutely. Just so your local board, Otara Papatoetoe, and my local board, Māngere o Tāhuhu, we make up the Manukau ward of Auckland City in South Auckland. And I'm just wondering, maybe you could describe for listeners a little bit about the demographics of your local board area. Who's living out there?
Okay, so we've got about 86,000 people.
Goodness.
Recent figures say that.
So that's well bigger than... Sorry to interrupt you, that's not going to sound great, but I'm just going to say that's well bigger than a general electorate from Parliament.
Yes. And that's, you know, that's because they've carved up the region, Auckland region, into 21 local boards. And so, yeah, some of the numbers are huge. Howick is around 125,000. So, you know, really big numbers. And in our board area, as you know, the growth is you know, it's growing very fast like other parts of Auckland. We have about 45% Pasifika people, about 34% Indian Asian, and then we've got around 20% European or Pākehā New Zealand, and then around 17% Māori. And then, you know, a much smaller percentage of new immigrants and people from Africa, Asia, other parts of Asia. Yes, so it's a very multicultural, very diverse local board area that I'm in, but a very resilient and very vibrant local board area. We're also the second youngest in terms of population age, second to you guys, actually, Christine.
And what about the profile in terms of deprivation?
Yeah, we heard yesterday, we were talking about that actually yesterday, because we were looking at how, you know, the funding that we get is calculated, and we're at the highest level. So we're a 9 in terms of the deprivation scale, which is the highest that you can be. So people in that, we've got a very high unemployment rate compared to the rest of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And our youth unemployment used to be double what the rest of New Zealand was, what the average was for New Zealand, but we have half that. It's still more than, it's still slightly higher than the rest of New Zealand, but we're, you know, pretty proud that we've been able to halve our figure for youth unemployment. Yeah, so we've got people who are struggling, but we also have, you know, a lot of people who are doing well, a lot of young people who are getting into entrepreneurship and looking at their creative talents and turning that into small businesses. And we've got a lot of people thinking about innovation and doing things in that space as well.
So a lot of people might think that that's not really a local board issue, but it's fantastic that you've been able to work with your community and the limited resources that local boards have to turn that those numbers around and to encourage that kind of innovation and creativity. Can you tell us a bit about how your local board's done that?
Sure. Yeah, you know, you're right. It does sound like a central government sort of an issue when you think about unemployment or young people who are not in education or training. Mm. But because we are in the community, and that's part of what we do. It's all about your local residents and doing what you can to improve their lives. And so we've done that in partnership because our budgets are very small. Mm. But, you know, we've been able to, for example, with Youth Connections, we've connected with your local board and championed that work and been able to work in partnership with the Tyndall Foundation, the Auckland Airport Trust that were supporting us as well. And now even, you know, across the region, it's become something that the whole of the council supports. And with Youth Connections, we've been able to provide opportunities for young people. We've been able to come together with employers and help employers to become more inclusive or more accepting of young people and understand the struggle that young people are going through and help them to be youth ready in terms of the way they employ and support their workers and help young people to be work ready as well. Yeah, and working in partnership with agencies as well, like the Solomon Group and Careers New Zealand, and it's been a collaborative effort, but that's the whole point of Youth Connections, and it's working. You know, and like JobFest is one of the great sort of initiatives that came out of Youth Connections, and it's built into, it's become this real brand almost on its own, and we get thousands of people turn up, thousands of young people turn up to each JobFest looking for jobs, looking for opportunities, wanting help, you know, to be able to get into employment, and we have hundreds of, you know, employers turning up as well, which is awesome.
Absolutely, and I gather that other parts of Auckland are now kind of lobbying to have a job fest brought to their area because it's such a successful way of bringing young people and employers together.
Yes, definitely, and today I think it's out in Henderson, so today's job fest is, and I'll be heading out there later on, out in Henderson, and they've been asking to have it out west for a while because we've had it here in South Auckland a couple of times now, and also in the city, Central Auckland.
Absolutely. And I think our local boards are similar in that we do have this youthful population that there's a huge mismatch because we have, both of us share the airport precinct as an enormous area of job growth. And you have, of course, Wiri and Highbrook, which are enormous areas of growth and innovation. And yet our local kids weren't getting a look in. So we've been really able to be the glue that brings employers to become more youth-focused and young people to understand a bit more about what's required for work. And that's actually been really exciting for me.
It has, and it's been transformative as well, you know. We've seen employers really change the way or change their attitude towards young people. Mm. I think a lot of people had some preconceived ideas about young people from our local board areas in particular. And we've been able to break those barriers down and be the glue, as you say, be the, you know, the conduit for that to happen.
Yeah.
As well as helping young people learn those skills that enable them to actually not just get a job, but stay in a job. Yeah. So making them work ready and supporting them once they're in a job as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what we've both seen, I think you'd probably agree with me, is that there's an enormous talent and initiative amongst the young people of South Auckland. They haven't always seen the traditional opportunities the way that perhaps others might see them. But our experience with Youth Connections really gives the lie to those who say, oh, they're all drinking and drugging and lying about and not interested in anything except video games or whatever it might be. That's just really complete rubbish. And we have people who are keen to work and eager to learn, and they just need a tiny opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, like I said, every time we have a job fest, we have 2,000-3,000 mm-hmm. young people turn up mm-hmm. looking for work. They're eager to work. They just need that opportunity. They need someone to put those stereotypes aside and actually give them an opportunity and a chance.
Excellent.
And probably one of the, I was talking to the manager, the CEO over at Rainbow's End, and he's awesome. He's got a great attitude about young people, and he really understands the young people of South Auckland. Mm. He's got a real heart for them, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, he took a bunch of young guys from a local school who you might have thought, you know, when you look at them, you think, oh, they're a bit rough. Mm. But, you know, he said that once you sort of got to know them, they turns out they're just like his teenage boys, you know.
Yeah.
They're no different to any, to other young kids that, you know, they have aspirations. They want to do well for themselves. They want to achieve for their families. Mm. But they're not always given that opportunity straight off the bat. For whatever reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're a great employer, and he and his team are very good about picking leadership potential, I think, in local young people as well, which is something else that your local board is also very good at and have been working quite hard at, I think led by you over several terms now. Do you want to tell me a bit more about the other youth work that you're doing?
Yes, so it's taken four years, as you know, to build up. But we've got now a really strong youth council.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken a little while to get that up and running. When I was first elected, both myself and Ethel Collins, who was the chair last term, we were really surprised to find that there was no youth development, there was no youth focus in the past, in the existing local board and in the past term. And that surprised us because we've got the second youngest, you know, population in the country.
Mm.
And like 60% of our local board area is under the age of 35.
Mm.
So we really were surprised. And so we pushed really hard for that. We made sure that we had a youth development portfolio for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then so Youth Connections came out. It's built on the Youth Connections work that had started the term before. But we also built up our Youth Council last term and this term. And we wanted to provide an opportunity for young people to be able to connect directly to our board and to start to think about governance themselves and give them that leadership training.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went out to the schools as well, and we offered civic leadership awards to each of, we've got six secondary schools in our board area, and we offered civic leadership awards and award them at the junior prize giving at the end of the year at those schools for the year 10 students so that when they're going into year 11 they don't have to worry about their school fees or their NCEA fees, and that's covered. But they've also got the opportunity to join our youth council and get that leadership training and start to open up their eyes about the sorts of things that they can do in the community and what council is about, and maybe connect to other businesses, CEOs and directors and things like that. And it's been really, really positive. And we've now got a really strong core group of young people who have just grown by leaps and bounds. Mm. You know, they've been organising cleanups in our local board area. They've been volunteering wherever they can. They hold their own significant youth events once a year during Youth Week. And so they're, you know, project managing as well. And they come and do reports to the local board and to myself as the chair. And then they've also got one member who was elected as the youth rep on the advisory panel for council.
Fantastic.
So it's been really, really great, you know, and opening up young people's minds to a future in leadership. It could be in politics, it could be, you know, as a director or as a CEO or something like that, but giving them those opportunities as well. So it's been really good. I've been really excited about that. Yeah. It's been hard to do it, but, you know, really excited to see it flourish and happen.
Oh, absolutely. Congratulations. It is just wonderful to see those young leaders coming through from this neck of the woods. So I just wanted to move on, if you sort of from the work that you've been doing with young people, in terms of placemaking, the obligation on the board to placemake, I know that you've got a couple of very, very large transformational projects on the go for your area. Do you want to just talk us through those projects, like Transform Manukau and perhaps the Ngāti Ōtara multi-sport project?
Sure. Transform Manukau is our really big project. And that is probably, it's a long-term project. So we're looking at transforming that whole central Manukau area over the next 20 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're leading that project with Pānuku, which is our which is our CCO that takes care of all of our properties. And what we're wanting to do, we've got a real vision to turn that central Manukau area, which is made up of, you know, most people would think of the Westfield Mall, and they might think of now the train station that's there and the bus station that's going up. But we're wanting to transform that into a place where people will also want to come and live. It's a centre right now that people come to work and to shop, and then they all leave, you know, at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, everyone's gone, and there's only a few people left in the whole area. So we're wanting to turn that into a place where people will also live. So we're wanting to build up to have more apartments, more residential areas in and around there. We're wanting to clean up the stream that goes through Hayman Park to improve that green space and, you know, encourage people to use that green space more. And also we're wanting to, we're advocating to the government to bring Te Papa over to Hayman Park as well, which will be a bit of a game changer.
That'll be exciting.
It's a huge project. It's exciting. And everyone, I think people who live in the area can already see that the bus station is well on its way to being completed.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be completed, I think, middle of next year. That will be done. And, yeah, so already we've got thousands of people who come through Manukau because we've got the big MIT business school there and AUT just around on the other side, as well as we've got Laidlaw College, we've got a military prep school there. So there's a whole lot of PTEs and education institutions in that block, in that central Manukau area. So it's turned into a place where people want to shop, people want to work, and people want to learn and study, and we also want to encourage people to live there, live here as well.
That's fantastic. I mean, obviously, there's been a huge focus on housing, the critical shortage of housing in our areas, and incredibly sad levels of homelessness as well, and overcrowding, which are causing health issues and education issues. So part of the ongoing arguments that seem to have been going on between government and council are around infrastructure and who's responsible for developing new areas, but it makes perfect sense when you've got an incredibly well-resourced area with amazing basic infrastructure around transport, around schooling and so forth right there, to just intensify where the potential really is. And is that something that's been difficult to sort of talk to people about? I'm presuming that you'll be going up and you're thinking about apartment blocks and that kind of thing, or is that how the local board perceives it?
Yeah, our local board's really receptive to building up and intensification, because housing is one of our biggest issues in our local board area, as it is with your board area as well. And we've encouraged Pānuku to set really good targets in terms of affordable housing for any new development areas that we've got. Affordable housing as well as social housing. And so we've got some areas where developers were now, you know, like in Old Papatoetoe, there's quite a big area there, just off St. George Street, where we're at the final stages now of getting a developer. But one of the requirements or conditions there is that a certain percentage has to be social housing and a certain percentage has to be affordable housing. And that's the same with the Barrowcliffe residential area that's being that's gone out to tender as well. We require a certain percentage of affordable or social housing, and we've really pushed that. We've really advocated for that to happen. We're happy if people can build apartment buildings that go up, because that provides a lot more, you know, different opportunities for people, because we're mindful that people are also renting more these days. You know, we've got to provide those opportunities. And I saw in The Guardian the other day that there's a new sort of group of people coming up over in the UK and in the US called the YIMBYs, the Yes in My Backyard
movement. Nice.
And I just thought that was really funny, because people of my age, we do feel that way. I mean, I lived in Japan and South Korea where I lived in apartments and it was no big deal, but coming back to New Zealand and seeing all the, you know, the backlash around intensification and the unitary plan and the NIMBYs really surprised me in this day and age. But, you know, but hopefully that's changing. And because our board area is younger, I think people are more receptive to the idea of having apartments.
Absolutely.
So I think we've got to be more flexible as New Zealanders, as Aucklanders, definitely, and think about different ways of living and different ways of, you know, occupying space so that we do have different options. You know, it's about people buying homes, but also about people renting.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds, it's so exciting. And I can just imagine sort of 20 years down the track, what an amazing place that will be to sort of live, work and play all on the spot. And people will be coming from miles around, I imagine, still to visit. So it'll be an absolutely thriving hub, probably between South Auckland and Waikato, in fact.
Yes, and we're expecting some hotels to go in as well because, you know, we've got the super clinic there that's going to expand, as well as, you know, we've got Weddell, we've got Rainbow's End, we've got all those other attractions, and if Te Papa comes as well. And so it's going to be a real hub where people will be coming from around the country to visit. And so they need somewhere to stay, and, you know, hotels are perfect for that.
Absolutely. And obviously you've just mentioned Old Papatoetoe, so that's undergoing significant refurbishment under the sort of guidance of your local board. But you've also got a major sort of community hub project going on over in Otara. Can you just update us on how that's going?
Are you talking about Te Puke or
Ngāti Otara, the multi-sport complex, and the marae, in fact, that you're planning over there?
Yeah, and that's our number one project. We've been saying that since the beginning of this term, because the people of Otara have been waiting for this pretty much since the merge, since 2010. And it's the Ngāti Otara Multisport and Marae project. So we call it that. You know, if you go there, you'll see physically they're not on the same field. They're quite separate. But we wanted to afi them together, to put them together. And so we want to, our board has been advocating for a long time to build a decent multi-sport complex for the people of Otara. If you go there now, what's there now is a former sort of toilet block, which has been painted, and the people of Otara have put up with that for, you know, 30, 40 years. I remember as a 4 or 5 year old kid going there and playing kirikiti with my church every summer, and it's still the same building.
Lord.
And it's really not, it's not right. It's not right that our area has had to put up with that for decades. And so the board and council have put aside some money to build that up. And we're hoping we will, in the next month, so either the October or November business meeting, we'll pass a resolution to get that, to release that funding and get that work started in earnest.
That's
so we've
so
been in
exciting.
Sort of a planning phase for the last 3 or 4 years, and now we're ready to get that work started, probably by November, I hope, of this year. And we're hoping for the build after the consents and everything else, because, you know, that takes time. We're hoping for the build to start by the end of next year. Yep. And we're phasing it in, so, it is. And we've got, so we want to build up the multi-sport complex, and at the same time, we want to build up the governance structure over at the Marae, and we're looking at options to partner with outside funders to build up the Marae as well, because although it's under the same project, they've got a different tikanga, they've got a different kaupapa in terms of what the Marae wants to achieve, and so we want to look at partnering with external funders, like possibly like Foundation North, or maybe some iwi funders as well, to get that done. So yeah, so at the same time that we're doing the consenting and planning for the multi-sport, we'll be putting some funding in to build up the governance group over at the Marae, and to do a few temporary repairs for now, and look at encouraging others to come on board with us for the Marae project, so that we can really build that up. And if you've been to the Ngāti Ōtara Marae, you'll see that it's really, really in need of repair. Basically sinking. I think the ground that it's on is, it might be sort of like reclaimed land. I think it used to be a dump or something or other. And it's sinking, and so the place is falling apart.
Yeah.
And we've got to...
Well, that's wonderful work, because that's going to really create an absolutely stable and sustainable hut for that community, isn't it? And for the future, really future looking.
And that beautiful field that opens up onto the, onto Ōtara Lake, and it could be a real game changer. I mean, I remember playing there when I was a kid every year for our Pikirikiti competitions, and it's a beautiful piece of land. We just need to provide the facilities as well that people can use and use well.
And use wisely. Now, we've just got a couple of minutes left, but the other thing that struck me about your local board, and that obviously our local board is trying to do as well, is the celebratory aspects, is to actually encourage sportsmanship and creativity and the cultural kind of exchanges that are the real opportunity for us with our populations. And I'm just wondering if you can talk about one of the things you've got coming up, which intrigues me, is an inaugural Ōtara Sports Awards.
Yes.
Nominations are open, people.
Yes, nominations are open. So if anyone's listening, please get nominated. And already, I posted that on Facebook, I think, the day before yesterday. And already, it's been like a buzz. So many people have been hopping on, and, you know, very positive feedback. So we have never had a sports awards for Ōtara. And for the last 4 years, I've been trying to get this off the ground. And so it's really great that the community has come together, and we've been able as a board to support them to do that for the first time. It's being held on the 2nd of December.
Right.
So nominations are open until the 5th of November, I think. And the reason why we felt we needed this is because, partly because I, you know, was seeing every other area having some kind of celebration to celebrate their local sports people and local volunteers and organisers, but there wasn't anything in Ōtara. And then I went to the big Counties Monaco Sports Awards, and I was really disappointed that there were no nominations from Ōtara the whole night.
With all that sporting talent there and all those dedicated coaches and managers.
Exactly. And I think it was only one school, Beards Intermediate, that had, they had nominated, self-nominated themselves, but otherwise there was just nothing. And I sat there and I sort of made a comment to the other people on our table, and I said, you know, if you were coming outside of the area and you came to this award night, this award ceremony, you would think that nobody in Ōtara plays sport. And it's so not true. I mean, we've got Manu Watuwe, who's like a, you know, warrior legend. Eric Rush, who's an All Black and Sevens legend. They come from our local board area, you know.
Mickey
Wells, who I went to school with, is the former world surfing champion, women's champion. You know, and I went to Tangaroa College with her. So I just felt like, you know, it's not right. We need to do something. So it's really, really, I'm so happy that finally it's gotten off the ground. And, you know, during the 4 years we were trying to advocate for it, so many people from other areas would say to us, oh, it can't be done. The people of Ōtara can't do it. It's too hard to organise. You know, we had all this negative rubbish, you know, but I knew that. You know, I know our people. I know how resilient our area is. And, you know, I've seen us build churches from nothing. You know, people with
Sorry to interrupt. We're going to have to wind it up there, but I just want to say congratulations on all the fabulous work you're doing. And everybody out there, watch the space 2nd of December in Aotearoa. Yep. You're going to see another huge batch of shining talent move into the spotlight. Thank you so much, Lotu, and all the best for the rest of your term as chair of the Aotearoa Papatoetoe local board.
Oh, thank you, Christine, and mihi nui to all of the listeners as well.